Well, let's get ready for the Word of God. First of all, thank you guys for being here this morning. I told Donna when we got here, I said, well, it might just be the two of us and maybe Myron, but that might be it. So I'm really thrilled to see as many of you here as you are today. And Randy and Deb. I'm glad to have all you guys here this morning. Thank you very much. So we've started this year by considering the words of Haggai. So this year, what I've been trying to do to start this year is to get us thinking about those specific words, which we'll look at in a second. But if you remember, the prophet Haggai, what he is speaking, he's speaking to the people who are about to return to Jerusalem. Those who are returning to Jerusalem after all that heartbreaking 70 years in exile. And the people, when they come, they are tasked with rebuilding the church of God, or rebuilding the temple of God. That's the task that is before them. And if you remember, as we looked at that, they began the work of rebuilding the temple of God, but as the work got started, it quickly stalled, even though the individual people continued to build their own homes, their own lives, and their own comfort. So we read that in Haggai chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, in this temple, to lie in ruins? So this is the words that the prophet gave to the people. Now, for you and I, in Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed from our exile, from this fallen and carnal world. And each one of us, because we've been redeemed and we've been brought from that exile to this carnal world, each one of us has the honor of having work to do, things to do in building up the spiritual house that Jesus is building today. And we saw that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk into them. But now, just like all too often, just like the people in Haggai's day, all too often, we think the same thing. We think it's not yet time to do the work because we think we're not ready to do the work, or we're confused. We're not quite sure what the work is that is set before us to do. But the message that Haggai gave is still just as true and just as relevant for us today. It is time for each one of us to do the work, and it is an honor to do the work. It is time for us to do the work because each one of us, we are living stones in Jesus Christ and the living stones that he is using to build up his spiritual house today. And we saw that from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, this is the third week that I've been speaking about these things because I want us to enter into this year knowing that there is things for us to do. There's work for us to do. And there's probably more work for us to do than we've even thought or realized. And it's not a burden for us to do those work. It is an honor that he has things set aside, that he's designed you individually for, no one else, things for you and you alone to do. Now, I've been focusing on this, but I do want to stop and just pause for just one second, and we'll talk about this more later. But I want to make sure we're all on the same page on this, because it dawned on me, Don and I were with Jeremy and Jessica on Friday, and as we were talking, it kind of dawned on me that I want to make this point clear. I want us to be excited about knowing that there is work that he has for us to do, that we have a place. We're a living stone, and there's a place in that spiritual house that he's building. There's a place that is carved out. It is shaped just like you. You are the one that is to fit into that. That's good to know, but I don't want us to stress out over it either, because it's work that he has for you, and it's a joy, and it's an honor. Don't stress out about, oh, what is that work? What's the assignment that I have? Just relax. Just relax, and every day, as you just live your life for Jesus Christ, just in living your life, that work is going to come to you. What I said to Jeremy and Jessica was, you know, when I first started in ministry, when I first started in ministry, when they hired me at that first radio station that I had, I've told you guys before, it's only in Jesus that they hired me at this Christian radio station, because I couldn't told you any verses. I couldn't have even told you John 3:16. I was saved, but I had no knowledge of anything at all. Now, thank you, Jesus, that he grew me very quickly while I was there. But I had no, there was nothing in ability-wise that I had to offer. Yet this is what I did do. I loved Jesus Christ, and I looked every day. I was excited in the Word of God, and every day I learned. Every day I learned in the Word of God. And when I would learn something, I could not wait to share that revelation with somebody else. And so that was the work. Every day I was just living for Jesus Christ. I just enjoyed Jesus and lived for him. And the work came to me. I had to go find it. It came to me. I was telling Jessica that I had only been there for a couple of years, and I have no idea why, because I had never preached a word. I told you I didn't know much of the word. But I got asked to preach at this pastor's convention in Toledo, and it was all just pastors or ministry people, and I was there preaching. And I told you guys last week, I actually found that tape of that, and Donna said, don't you want to hear it? No, because I can remember it. I don't want to go back. But the work came to me. If you make yourself usable, just live for him. Spend time in the Word. The work will come to you. So don't stress as we talk about these things. I want us to really focus on finding this year, that place that he has this year. Listen, the place might be different next year. It might be added. I don't know. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. But I want us to be excited about doing the work and finding the place that he has for us in the spiritual house that he's building. But I don't want you to stress over it either. I want you to just enjoy it. You just live for Jesus Christ, and the work will come to you. It'll find you. You don't have to go find it. All right, we'll talk about that more in just a couple of minutes. We also saw last week, we looked specifically at 1 Kings chapter 6. And we saw in 1 Kings chapter 6 that the stones that Solomon used, remember, we're the living stones, the stones that Solomon used to build the original temple of God, we saw last week that those stones were cut, they were measured, they were cut, they were prepared at the quarry, not at the temple site. And what I talked about with that is, even though we don't realize it, every single day of our lives, you don't realize it, but every single day of your life, Jesus is preparing us for the work that he has for us. Every day, he's preparing us. It is the quarry of life. He is preparing us to do his work. All we have to do is just live our lives for him on a daily basis, and the work will come to us. Every day he is sizing you to fit into that place that he has already prepared, sized and fitted for only you to fit into it. So this is in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse number 7. And the temple, when it was being built, was built with stone finished at the quarry, so that no hammer or chisel or any iron tool was heard in the temple while it was being built. So notice that there was not even the sound of any tools at the temple site. Not even the sound of it. Now, when we read through those verses, it's easy to just read through those verses, and as you're reading through it, not really think that much of it. You just kind of read it on the surface and don't think much of it. But understand that this is good news for you and I. Because what this is saying, this is letting us know that the pressure is not on you. The pressure is not on you. All I have to do is live my life for him, and the work will come to me. The pressure is not on me. There's no sound. It's not up to my work, my ability. There's no sound of tools or hammers at this temple site because he is doing the work. You know, we as living sacrifices, sometimes as living sacrifices, we wonder if we're ready to fit into our place in that spiritual house that he's building. We wonder to ourselves, are we ready to do the work? We wonder to ourselves, are we ready to step into that role and those responsibilities? Sometimes we're afraid to step into that work because we're afraid that we will fail in the work that he's set before us to do. Sometimes we're not sure that the work that we do is going to measure up to the standards of Jesus Christ. Don't worry about those things. He's the one that's doing the work. It's not up to me. It's not up to my efforts and my abilities. It is that uncertainty. That uncertainty is what leads to the stalling of the work in the temples of the Holy Spirit. If we're afraid to do the work, if we're afraid to move forward, that uncertainty stalls the work in this temple of the Holy Spirit. So there's no sound of any tools at the temple site, because all the stones have already been prepared at the quarry site. So at the temple site, the stones are simply installed in the place that has already been prepared for those stones. That gets back to what we talked about last week. That's the amazing skill of those stone cutters. That miles and miles away at the quarry, they could measure, they could prepare, they could polish, they could have those stones ready so that those stones, when they reached the temple site, would fit perfectly, one stone on top of another and one stone next to another. The work was done at the quarry site. It's not done at the temple site. Listen to this from Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work. You and I, we have good works to do for Jesus Christ. Right up to that time, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus has already begun a good work in you. And every day of your life, Jesus is continuing that work. He's continuing to measure you, to size you, to shape you, to fit into that work that he has set before you to do. It's Jesus who shapes us. It's Jesus who shapes you to fit into that place that he has. Jesus has shaped you to fit perfectly into that place that he has for you in the spiritual house that he's building. Jesus does the work, not you. Success doesn't come from my performance or my skill. Success comes from my obedience to Jesus. I just have to obey. If you hear the sounds of hammers and chisels, if the sounds of work can be heard from the temple site of you, that means that you're still trusting in your strength and your abilities instead of trusting in him. God is trying to make it very clear to us. God's making sure that we understand there's no sound of tools shaping the stones at the temple site. There's no sounds because that work has already been done by the master stone cutter. It's been done at the quarry of life. He's preparing you every single day. If I hear the sound of hammers and chisels at my temple site, this temple of the Holy Spirit, if I hear the sounds of hammers and chisels, I'm probably trying to do his work in my own strength. And listen, that is a form of idolatry. If I'm trying to do the work in my own strength, that's a form of idolatry. Now, listen to what God speaks to us or tells us through the prophet Isaiah. I'm going to read to you a couple of verses, one right now from chapter 41. In chapter 41 of Isaiah, there's many things that are being covered in that chapter. But in part, what the prophet is talking about, he's talking about some of the people who are going to be returning to Jerusalem following exile. So in this verse, in part, Isaiah is talking about the same things that Haggai is talking about. And in this particular verse, verse number 7, Isaiah, through God, is speaking about those who create or those who craft idols. So listen to this from Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 7. So the craftsman encountered the goldsmith, he who smooths with the hammer. Hear the work of the tools. Hear the tools. Hear the work being done. Inspired him who strikes the anvil, saying, it is ready for soldering. Then he fastened it with pegs that it might not totter. You can hear by all this. This is a sound. There are sounds being made. The work is being done. Crafters of idols produce noise because of the hammers and the tools that they're using to create those idols. Why? Because idols are created with human hands. But at the temple site, there's silence. At the temple site, where he's doing the work, there's silence. If I'm relying upon my skills and my abilities to do the good works of Jesus Christ, if I'm relying on my skills and my abilities, I'm probably making a lot of noise, but I'm also probably not producing a lot of good works. I'm probably not producing a lot of eternal things for him. There's a lot of people who are making a lot of noise for Jesus Christ, but they're not really producing good works. Make sure that we don't fall into that category. The work is done by Jesus Christ on us. Let him do the work. The pressure is not on you. He is developing you. He is forming you. He is shaping you every day. We just have to be faithful to move forward and do the works that he sets before us to do. And the more that we do the works, the more works he's going to entrust to us to do. Listen, when I was bold enough to go and speak the word of God and give a message to those pastors, even though it was not a very good message, and it probably wasn't very deep, and it probably didn't make a lot of sense, and the presentation was probably not very good. I say probably for my own benefit, it was not very good. But I did it. And Jesus knew he could trust me to do whatever he set before me to do. If we just do the work today that's set before you to do, he's going to use those things to shape you, to form you, so that he can give you even more things to do. More things for his glory. More things for him. So set down your tools. It's not in your hands. You just do the work, but it's not your skill and ability. Set down your tools and let him do the work at the quarry. We are his craftsmanship. So there shouldn't be the noise of my craftsmanship, my abilities, when I'm doing his work for him. I can't wait until I think I've made myself ready to do his work. I just have to obey and do his work. Because success is determined not by my skill. Your success in what Jesus has given you to do is not determined by your skill or your ability. Success is determined by your obedience. Jesus has created me to do good works for him. Jesus has created you to do good works for him. He's created us to do good works, not to earn anything. All of that's already been given, freely given by the blood of Jesus Christ. But he has created you to do good works for him so that you have the opportunity. It's an honor. You have the opportunity to do things to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, there's nothing more fulfilling in life, nothing more fulfilling than when you know you've been used by Jesus Christ to bring glory to his name. Now let's stay in Isaiah chapter 7 for just a moment. And remember that in Isaiah chapter 7, the prophet is speaking in part, he's prophetically in part speaking to those who would be eventually coming, speaking prophetically about those who would be returning to Israel, returning to Jerusalem, following the exile. The same people that Haggai is talking to. But also in chapter 7, it's very clear that prophetically Isaiah is speaking about the coming Messiah. And so he's also talking about your place and my place and the part that you have and the part that I have in the spiritual house that Jesus is building. So listen to this. This is Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 9. You, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its farther regions and said to you, you are my servant. Hear this. Hear Jesus saying this to you. I have chosen you. I have not cast you away. Jesus has chosen you. Jesus has chosen you. There is a place in that spiritual house that he is building that only the living stone of you will fit into that space. And you alone have the honor of doing that work which will bring glory to Jesus Christ. He has not cast you aside. He's chosen you. Sometimes we feel like we just haven't done enough, or we feel like we've gotten lost, or whatever reasons, and we feel like we're not being used. You want to be used? Just make yourself usable. He has not cast you aside. He has chosen you to do His good works. He's chosen you. So let's make sure that we're not the missing piece in that spiritual building that He is building. There is a space in that spiritual house that He's building. It is a space just for you. Rejoice in that. Rejoice in the fact that He has created. I told you it's like this wall. If you took out this little thing right here, there's the only that shape, there's only this piece will fit there. I can't go to the closet and grab another one and put it in. This, it is cut for this piece. You're the same way. There is a hole, there's a place in the spiritual house that He's building that is cut, shaped, and designed for only you to fit in. So rejoice in the fact that He's got a space, a place for you. Don't be stressed out about it. Don't keep asking yourself the questions, well, what is it I'm supposed to do? What's the assignment that I have? I don't know the work that He has for me. Relax. Just relax. You don't have to work hard to find the good works that He has for you. Relax. Listen to this. I'm going to show you some verses that show us. Just relax. Just walk into it. The Bible shows us how we can find our place and how we can do those good works. And I'm only going to show you a couple. We could spend days. We could spend Sundays after Sundays on this. This is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not fret. Don't fret. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, by definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of the soul, assured by its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about finding your place. Relax and give thanks. Relax and give thanks. Thank Jesus that He has already prepared a place, a space, just for you. Relax. Thank Him for it. Just be at peace. He's got a place for you. And then be in peace. That means just live your daily life for Him. Just live it for Him. When you just live your daily life for Him, when you walk out of here today, if your mind is just on Jesus Christ as you go through the day, the work is going to find you. You don't have to go find the work. You don't have to stress and be, oh, what is it I'm supposed to do? Live your life daily for Him. The work, the good works that He has for you will find you. We make it hard. Here's another verse. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. Familiar, but I want you to see it in the Amplified Bible. But seek, aim at, and strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right. And then all these things, taken together, will be given you besides. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In every small thing that you have, in every smallest detail of life, just be His representative. Seek His kingdom with enthusiasm. Seek His kingdom, and then all these things, including the good works for Jesus Christ, will come unto you. Just be who He created you to be to His glory. And the good works that He has for you will unfold before you. Trust me, you don't have to go and look. It doesn't take a lot of effort. You don't have to go look for the good works. They will find you. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You therefore, my son, Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Daily live the word of God. And daily be ready to share the truth that you know with others. Listen, today you don't have to know everything. You just have to be ready and willing to share what you do know with others. Share it with others. If you're willing to share what you do know today with others, the opportunities will present themselves. If you're willing, trust me, the opportunities will come. It doesn't take a lot of work. You don't have to go searching for it. The good works that He has for you will find their way to you. Make yourself usable. Show yourself as usable, and He will use you in greater ways. It's how He designed you. It's what He wants for you. He wants you to have the peace and the fulfillment, and He wants us to enjoy the honor of being able to do good works that will bring glory to His name. He wants us to experience that. And then finally, we have this insight from Peter. And remember, Peter didn't have to go looking for his work. Peter didn't have to go looking to find, well, what is my place in the spiritual house that Jesus is building? Jesus found Peter. Jesus knows the plans that He has for you, just as He knew the plans that He had for Peter. Peter was a man who walked with Jesus every single day. He walked with Jesus, and Peter was a man who served in the ministry of Jesus while Jesus was here. After the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, and after the coming, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, we know that Peter was used in the book of Acts in powerful ways. Peter's the one who stood on the day of Pentecost. He's the one who stood and boldly gave that word, and then thousands came in too. Peter's the one that's standing at the portico preaching the word day in and day out. He's the one that's being arrested by the Sadducees. He's the one that is seeing powerful things happen. He's the one that is going out to Samaria after Philip has been there and taking the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's getting the revelation about bringing in the Gentiles. He's the one that takes that truth to Cornelius in Caesarea. Peter is used powerfully all through the book of Acts. He's used powerfully. He is a great example for you and I. So, if Peter is a good example for you and I, on Jesus has good works set aside for you today. He's got a place for you. He's already got it established. You don't have to work hard for it. Just serve Him, and He will bring it to you. Peter's a great example for us. So listen to the insight. Listen to what Peter says to us. Listen to his advice that he gives us on this truth. So Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Humble yourselves. Listen to this definition from humble. I'm going to show you this definition. This is from, it's called the Helps Word Study, but I love the way that they summarize the word humble. It is to be fully dependent upon the Lord. That's what we're talking about. Don't trust in your own skills. Don't trust in your own abilities. Trust in the Lord. Dismissing reliance upon self and emptying the carnal ego. This exalts the Lord and prompts the gift of His fullness in us. You want to find your place in the spiritual house that Jesus is building? Be humble. Trust in Him. Don't trust in your own abilities. Trust in Him. And then just relax. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be afraid. Just serve Him. It is that lowering of self. When you lower yourself and you exalt Jesus Christ, that releases His gifts for you to serve. Lower yourself, lower yourself and exalt Jesus, and in due time, you are exalted. In other words, all of the good works that He has, the place that He has for you, the assignment He has for you, will find its way to you. Lower yourself, and He will exalt you into those good works that He has already prepared and established for you. Now, it's another biblical example. It's a wonderful biblical example that shows us the same thing. It proves out the same truth to you and I about finding that place, being in, finding that place that he has for us in the spiritual house he's building, and that it's not something that we have to struggle for, it's easy for us to move into it. There's no stress on us at all. And this comes also from the first chapter of the book of Acts. So what's happened is Jesus has just ascended up to heaven, and the disciples are gathering together daily for prayer, and it says, in those times, Peter stood, and Peter proposed that they choose another disciple to take the place of Judas Iscariot, who had betrayed Jesus. So listen to this in Acts chapter 1, verse 23. And they proposed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. So Peter is asking that there be one. You want to talk about a position, being exalted into a position? How about if you're one of the two people that is set before the men of God, these disciples, to be the 12th disciple, to be that one of 12? This is an honor. So we have the two, Matthias and Joseph, who's called Barsabbas. Pardon me? It's Joseph who's called Barsabbas. Yes, surname Justus. So we have these two, Joseph called Barsabbas and Matthias. So let's just focus on Joseph called Barsabbas for just a moment. Because one of the qualifications for whoever is going to take this place and become the 12th disciple, one of the qualifications is it has to be a man who was constantly walking with the apostles, the disciples, the whole time that Jesus was there. So we know that both of these men, including Joseph is clearly a man who was constant with Jesus. For more than 3 years, he was constantly walking, constantly listening, constantly being with Jesus. Now, the term Barsabbas means son of the Sabbath. So Joseph, maybe he was born on the Sabbath, but what this is clearly suggesting to us is Joseph was enthusiastic about the Sabbath. He was enthusiastic about the things of God. He was enthusiastic about honoring the things of God, so much so that his nickname becomes Barsabbas, son of the Sabbath. So Joseph is a man that walked daily with Jesus, and Joseph was a man who honored and loved the things of God. Joseph didn't have to force his way into being considered as one of the 12, as the 12th disciple. He didn't have to do that at all. He just walked with God daily, and he loved and honored the things of God. And in due time, he was exalted to be considered for this honored position. For more than 3 years, Joseph just simply did those things. You don't have to force your way into whatever the place is that Jesus has for you in the spiritual house he's building. You don't have to force your way into the good works that he has for you. You don't have to force your way. Just live for him. Joseph, called Barsabbas, is a great example for you and I. Now we know that by lot, Matthias was chosen to be that 12th disciple and not Joseph, who's called Barsabbas. But that's not the end. That's not the last thing we know about Joseph, who's called Barsabbas. Later in the book of Acts, in the 15th chapter of the book of Acts, it's talking to us about some select men who were chosen to carry an important message which was bringing qualifications of understanding about the Gentiles to the church at Antioch. It's very clear. It's an important message that was being sent. And look who is amongst those who are chosen to carry that important message. In Acts chapter 15, verse number 22, then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas, two pretty big names, right? Look who else is going with Paul and Barnabas. Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men amongst the brethren. Now, in most Bibles, if they have references, you will see in those references that Bibles that make references make it clear that this man that is called Justus called Barsabbas, is the exact same man from Acts chapter 1, verse number 23, Joseph of Barsabbas. And it's not uncommon in biblical times for men to have different names, to carry different names and carry different nicknames. But it's clear we're talking about the same man. So Joseph, who is called Barsabbas, has now become a leader amongst the men, a leading man amongst the brethren. How did Joseph, called Barsabbas, how did he get to this place? He just walked daily with Jesus. And he loved and honored the things of God. And because he walked with Jesus daily and he loved and honored the things of God, the good works that Jesus had for him just came to him. He didn't have to force anything. It just came to him. There's good works that Jesus has for each one of us to do. And he wants to bring them to us. So don't stress over it. As we've talked about these things for the last now 3 weeks, I want you to be excited knowing that there is a place designed just for you in the spiritual house that he is building. There's a place for you. And there's good works that he has set aside for you to do today, this year, this month. I want us to be excited about finding out what those things are. But I don't want us to stress over it either. Just enjoy every day as you live and serve him. Just enjoy every day walking in him. Just love Jesus and his things and his ways, and the good works will find their way to you. There was no sound of tools at the temple site. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. There was no sound of tools at the temple site. So just let Jesus do the work of shaping you to fit into that place that he has for you. Let him do the work. Don't trust in your own abilities. Trust in Jesus Christ. And then don't be anxious. Relax. Don't be anxious at all. Just live your life daily for him. And the opportunities every day will present themselves. And in due time, you will be exalted to that place, to that space that he has prepared, to that place set aside. You'll be exalted to that place he has prepared for you in the spiritual house that he is building. And it's a place that is shaped only for you to fit in. He has good things, good works for each one of us to do. So we should be excited about what he has before us today, this month, this year, this season of our life, and for our lives entirely. Amen. Jesus, we thank you and praise you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for just redeeming us, bringing us to salvation and eternity with you. But we thank you that you include us in your good works. We thank you that you provide us the opportunity. You created us to do good works for you so that we would have the opportunity, the honor of bringing glory to your name. And each one of us, we want to take the opportunity. We want to take advantage of that opportunity today and every day to do the good works you've created us to do. So we thank you and praise you. We put our focus on you today and every day. And every day we'll be intentional to have our eyes open to see those opportunities. And as we serve you, as we live for you daily, you will easily just bring into our lives, you will bring them to us, the good works that you have for us. And we thank you and praise you for that. I speak that over each one of us, and that we get the satisfaction of being able to do those good works. I speak it over each of us in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up and close in praise this morning.